Okay, our last presentation is by Edward McField. And Edward is a bicultural and multilingual. He brings a decade of experience in nonprofit management, community capacity building, and policy analysis. He holds a degree in business administration, specializing in management, and a master's in community development. He is now a PhD candidate for the degree in social policy and social research at Loma Linda University. The title of the presentation is Improving Access to Specialty Care, a Community Response.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I was sharing with my colleagues up here that I feel as if I went to church. I'm ready to go home now after listening to the awesome presentations about access to care. And so I'm very passionate about this topic, as we've shared. But from the perspective of the community, what is the role of community in engaging the providers in increasing or to increase access to care? And just to comply with a mandatory disclosure, I do not have any financial or commercial ties to disclose this afternoon in regards to this particular presentation. The abstract that you may have in your hands, or I left some presentations at the back table. The purpose of our brief presentation would be to list some of the common barriers to specialty care in San Bernardino, California. And I'll share with you a little bit in the context of where that is located. And we want to articulate some strategies to involve communities in all phases of the research. Usually we include the community in some initial aspects or in the latter stages, but how to involve the community in all phases of the research and describe a community-based strategy to improve access to specialty care. Well, for those of you who are not of California, welcome to Southern California. San Bernardino is 2 hours away approximately from here up north. Approximately 2 million residents, about half of which self-describe as Latino or Hispanic. And more than 20% of adults are uninsured. And we have difficulty with obtaining a referral or an appointment from the primary care to the specialist. Waiting times could be up to 9 months. So on this reality, a group of community-based organizations and clinics and policy researchers came together to try to understand how and to what extent access to specialty care varied from one community to another, and what factors were associated with better or worse access to off-site specialty services, and consequently, what models could be developed that would be better suited to improve access to specialty care in San Bernardino. And so we identified what we're calling the Specialty Care Improvement Program, a SCIP. And in essence, it's a group of organizations, academic partner, hospitals, physicians, community members. And one of the main characteristics of this group was that it needed to have shared governance. This group was not convened by any particular entity or university. And so the coalition, it operates on the premise of shared governance. And we wanted to ensure that the community members were involved throughout the project, throughout all phases of the research endeavors. And so getting them involved in designing the surveys or pilot testing or in focus groups, we developed what we called community action teams, which were in essence a group of grassroots individuals who would participate and lead out in the process. The different phases of this initiative consisted, the first one was organizing the coalition. We were operating in an environment of very little prior history of partnerships and collaborations between community clinics. And so we needed to, first of all, get our project staff together, identify the specialists who could assist us with some of the evidence-based approaches, and engaged in specific coalition development efforts, developing the mission statement, vision statement, values, how we were going to make decisions. And then once that step was completed, to engage in the data collection and analysis. And here I want to pause briefly, because usually we have difficulty in using or embracing community input in the analysis of the data. So we wanted to ensure that the data, at least the information, was presented in a way that was easily understood by the lay folks. And so instead of using the more sophisticated statistical analyses, logistic regressions, etc., we would use mostly descriptive analysis, percentages and frequencies, and sufficient qualitative data, so that this would become more useful to those who were in the coalition and making decisions, and use that information to develop the implementation plan, the DIP. Just to give an overview of the methods employed, again, this is coming out of the community-based participatory research approach. I'm using mixed methods, and you could see the number of focus groups and surveys that were conducted and interviews among community members, patients, and health providers. There had been some experience previously that took into account the opinion of the provider, just based on some of the logs and data management systems that they had, but very little input from community members in being able to express some of the difficulties and challenges they had in accessing and utilizing the system. And so we engaged in purposeful sampling, going through community settings such as supermarkets, churches, and also an embassy, including and clinic community clinics, so that we could also have access to patients. And of course, the committee was interdisciplinary and multi-ethnic. Some of the findings were very interesting, and in fact, one kind of challenged the previous understanding. For example, that transportation was a major barrier to accessing specialty care. And we found that, in fact, transportation was not the most critical issue that the Latino and primarily our target population was confronting. Cost was one of the highest or most critical challenges, and the long referral delays. Some of the needs, which I have not included in the slide, included cardiology, dermatology, and obstetrics, just to name a few. Some additional barriers that were identified. This whole slide, just the emphasis is the importance of language and cultural competency in care. And oftentimes we equate language proficiency with cultural competency. That is, as you know, it's not always the case. And patients found themselves confused in navigating the system. Sometimes they did not understand the physician's or the provider's requirements. And they also felt at times that the primary care physician or provider was actually a gatekeeper to specialists. And they felt that they needed a referral to a specialist, but their perception was that the primary care physician would be a hindrance to obtaining that referral. Based on the information we gathered in this intensive needs assessment, the community coalition decided on a two-pronged approach, which, sitting here, I was almost practically jumping off my seat, hearing of this, for example, the specialty care hub and using donated services from specialist physicians, implementing a referral tracking system, and but also, in addition to intervening into the formal system, we felt it was very important to have the community members empowered to make decisions, knowing what information they could and should be able to request and provide to their physician and to their providers, being able to navigate the system and addressing some of the 8 points that you talked about. For example, understanding the entire referral process. So that's our two-pronged approach. One was system intervention. The other one is community-based intervention using what we are calling a community health navigator, which is a hybrid between the what is known in the literature as the promotora de salud, or the community health worker, and what comes out of the literature mostly from the cancer care, which is the patient navigator, and merging these two case manager kind of assistance to create what we think would be very unique to the San Bernardino case, using community health navigators and trusted leaders to engage communities in increasing their capacity to navigate the system. In conclusions, I want to emphasize that yes, there were some limitations to the study. For example, you may have noticed that we focused on purposeful sampling, which the intent was not to generalize to context or populations beyond our immediate need. And so the non-random sampling method precludes that possibility of expanding the findings. However, because of the unique situation, we think it's very important to get a specific understanding of our context. Secondly, it was a retrospective study. We asked community members to give us their opinion on their needs and the barriers they confronted. And so, of course, this may have been conditioned by both their experience and the interviewer at that moment. But it's very important, however we approach access to healthcare, it will take more than system intervention or a top-down approach. It will and should involve community members in designing specific solutions that are applicable and relevant to their specific context. And not to mention the need for validity and including and strengthening the design and implementation and improving the community participation and sustainability of our program. So in essence, our specialty care improvement program focuses on community empowerment to increase access to specialty care. Thank you very much.
We have a little bit of time for questions. If you have questions for the presenters, is anyone person here in the black sweater? And do you want to come over to the? If I can move this, so you're going to probably have to come to it.
We are very lucky, and I actually think that it is probably not possible to get that high in some other communities. We have almost all of the physicians in the community are affiliated with three groups, physician groups. There's even the independent physicians have co-opted to create an independent physician group. So we essentially only had to really go to 3 to 5 places at the top level to get buy-in and then have it filter down. And of course, then we had to work on kind of the groundswell from the bottom up after that. So the CEOs are all on the executive committee of the coalition. There was no cell.
Go ahead.
Actually, what I would add is actually two other things. Physician champions are like the secret sauce of getting